Well, we're going to continue our painfully practical study through the book of Proverbs this morning. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be back in East Tennessee and visited the campus of ETSU. That's the school I attended, and I'm sure you've heard of that, the East Tennessee State University Buccaneers, right? Right on, all right. Well, when I was in college, I was a psychology major and studied that science a little bit. And one of the concepts that I learned was the idea of free association. Now, you may know what that is, you may not know what it is, but it works like this. The idea is, if I say a word, you say the first thing that comes to your mind, you say that. And the idea is that by doing that, it helps you find out what's really going on in a person's mind, what's really going on down in there, or how a person feels or their perspective on a certain issue or matter. For example, if I were to say, and you don't have to talk out loud, okay, but if I were to say the word food, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Well, for me, it would be the word Cracker Barrel, right? A very positive connotation. What if I were to say the word home? What would you think of? Well, for me right now, the first thing I would think of is it's gotten kind of cool, and I would think of our fireplace. It's finally time to, of course, that's the way we do it out here, flip the switch on our fireplace. It's a very positive connotation. I like that. But what if I were to say the word football? For me today, it's a very negative idea because I'm from Tennessee, and we lost yesterday. It's a very negative thing, but that's all right. I'm dealing with it. I don't need counseling or anything. I'm okay. But what would you think, and what is the first thing that comes to your mind when I say the word work? What comes to mind? Is it a positive sense or is it somewhat negative? Work. And I know some of you, the idea may come to mind, the word maybe fulfillment or joy or success or provision, because it's a very positive thing to you. But some of you, the first thing that may come to your mind is the idea of chore or pain or drudgery or hardship. There's nothing you could think of worse than the idea of work. Now, I understand that for many of you, that word is almost a bad word. Work. Somehow, there's the idea in our culture that work itself is a necessary evil of our existence and is something to be endured rather than to be enjoyed. Work, any kind of labor, is something to be avoided at all cost, and anything would be better than putting in a few hours of work or labor. Some believe that work itself is a result of the fall, that it's God's curse on mankind to make us work. Statistics say that only 10% of American workers say they're completely satisfied with their jobs. I was in a restaurant recently. Jennifer and I were eating, and you know, it's always a good thing to be kind to your server, right? The person that's going to be bringing you your food. That's pretty important. So I was just making conversation. I said, well, how are you doing today? I hope you're having a good day. Everything all right? And the person's response was this. Yeah, I'm doing all right, but I'll be doing a lot better once I get out of here. The idea was, I'd rather be doing anything than working. And sometimes we're communicating this idea to our children. Some young people could not imagine a greater injustice than being expected to participate in household chores or put in a few hours of physical labor. Nothing could be more unimaginable than that. I heard of one hip daughter who asked her father, she said, Dad, can I have some money to hit the flick? Meaning, give me some money to go to the movie. To which the father responded and said, certainly. After you swish the dish, spread the bed, and flop the mop. And the response was probably not very positive. Well, today, as we continue our study through this painfully practical book of Proverbs, we want to get God's perspective on this key area of our life. What does God say about this whole idea of work? We're going to look this morning at the wisdom of work. What does the Bible say about the whole idea, this concept of work? Now, before we begin and get into some scripture here, let me give you a definition, if you will, of what I mean this morning when we say work, okay? And you don't have to write this down. Let me just read it to you. When I say work this morning, basically I mean this. The duties and activities associated with an occupation or an assignment or any responsibility. It's those duties and activities that we carry out which are associated with our occupation. It may be your job, but it may not be. It may be a certain activity. It may be a responsibility that you have right now in the home or out of the home. You may be getting paid for it. You may not be getting paid for it. It's the things throughout our life, the responsibilities, assignments, and activities that God gives us. It's called work. And what does the Bible say about the idea of work? Well, the book of Proverbs, we've been reading it for 3 months now. And as you've been reading along, you've come across a lot of verses that deal with the idea of labor or work. So let me just read a few of them for you. What does the book of Proverbs and a few other books of the Bible say about work? Proverbs 14:23 says this, "In all labor there's profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." Solomon says, "In all labor there's profit." Proverbs 28:19 says, "The one who works his land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty." In other words, it's a whole lot better to do work than just dream about it. Proverbs 10:5 says, "The son who gathers during summer is prudent. The son who sleeps during harvest is disgraceful." Ecclesiastes chapter 5, written by Solomon as well, Solomon says this. Now listen to this verse. This is from the Message paraphrase. It says, "Yes, we should make the most of what God gives, both the bounty and the capacity to enjoy it. Accepting what is given and delighting in the work. It is God's gift." Now be real honest. When is the last time you saw a certain activity or responsibility or duty that God had given you as a gift? So what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes is a gift. Paul went on in 2 Thessalonians, he said this. He says, "In fact, when we were with you, this is what we commanded you. If anyone isn't willing to work, he shouldn't eat." He says, listen, if you're not willing to work, now some are unable, we know that, but if you're not willing to work, shouldn't eat. Work is a gift from God. So whether it's white collar or blue collar, outside the home or inside the home, you get paid for it or you don't. It's by the sweat of your brow or the sweat of your brain. The issue of work matters to God. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about it. So this morning we're going to look at two key passages and draw just a few truths to help us get God's perspective on this very important issue in our life. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 2 this morning. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to look at one verse and draw a couple truths from it, beginning in verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. It'll be on the screen for you. Now listen to what the Bible says here. Now again, let me set the context. This is before the fall. This is before sin entered the world. God and man are in perfect fellowship there. And listen to what God says. "Then the Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." Bible says, "Then God took Adam and placed him in the Garden of Eden and said, Adam, your responsibility is to cultivate it and keep it." Now look at three key words in this real quick with me. One key word is where it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden." The word "put" there means to lay something down or to make a deposit. The idea is this. Now listen carefully. The idea is that God assigned Adam a particular place. He put him in the Garden of Eden. The second word is that word "cultivate." The word "cultivate" literally means, and your translation may convey this, it literally means work. He put him in a particular place and gave him a particular task. He said, I'm going to put you here, and I'm going to give you the task of cultivating the garden. Then the final word is that idea of keep it. He said, cultivate it and keep it. The word keep means to pay close attention to. And he put all those together, and here's what you get. Pre-fall, before sin, God's design for Adam was this. He gave him a particular place, gave him a particular assignment, and said, Adam, pay close attention to it. That's the idea of work. It's given by God, particular place, a particular task, and we're to devote our full attention to it, the assignment God gives us. Now let me draw two truths out of this for you. Number one is this, work is God's idea. It's God's idea. He came up with the idea of giving us particular tasks at particular places and says, give full attention to what I give you. This is before the fall. God and man are in perfect fellowship. This is God's idea. Purposeful, diligent, satisfying work is God's idea. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. It is also an aspect of being created in God's image. Part of the idea of being created in God's image is the capacity and the ability to carry out meaningful work and to enjoy it. It was God's idea. He gave Adam a particular place, a particular task, said, devote yourself fully to it, and God said, it is good. It was God's idea. Now, I want to give you a second truth. Not only was it God's idea, and let me just say before I give you this one, if we can get our minds around this truth a little bit, it will, I promise, affect the way you approach your week next week. It will affect the way you carry out your daily activities before the Lord next week. Not only is all work God's idea, secondly, all work has value. Now listen to Proverbs 14 again. Proverbs 14:23 says this, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Solomon says, listen, in all work there's value. In all labor there's profit. Now stop right there. Many of us don't believe that. And here's why we don't believe that sometimes. Because we make the erroneous understanding in our mind of here's what we do. We put work or God-given assignments that He has given us into two categories. One category is we look at some work, some things God has given us, as secular or worldly work. And some as sacred or the Lord's work. Listen, as a child of God, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever divine assignment or responsibility He has given you, it is the Lord's work before Him. All work has value. Let me illustrate it for you this way. What was Adam's job? I mean, just be real. What was the job that God gave Adam? To tend a garden. Right? He said, here's the Garden of Eden. Adam, I want you to tend this garden. I want you to cultivate it. Sounds real spiritual, doesn't it? Adam, I want you to tend a garden. And the specific, one of the specific duties was, if you read on a few verses later, it says, I'm going to parade every animal in the world in front of you, and you've got to give them a name. Can you imagine? Thousands and thousands of animals, and Adam had to give them a name. That was his work, to tend a garden. Who gave him that work? God did. How important was it to God? He said, Adam, I want you to pay close attention to the responsibility I've given you. Was it the Lord's work? Absolutely. It was the divine assignment given by God to His man Adam. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking, if I'm out in the secular workplace or I'm working in the home and I'm not involved in ministry, labeled ministry, my work is somehow less important. Listen, let me encourage you. If it's blue collar, white collar, in the home, out of the home, you're a pastor of a church or you're selling used cars, if it's the assignment God has given you, it has value before God. It is the assignment that God has given you. Listen to what Martin Luther said. Your work is a very sacred matter. God delights in it, and through it, He wants to bestow His blessings on you. R. Kent Hughes said it this way. This is a great quote. Each of us has an eternally designed work assignment, which includes task, ability and the place to carry it out. There is no secular or sacred distinction. All honest work done unto the Lord is important to God. Listen, there are no first class and second class Christians because of their varying assignments. I am no more godly because I've been called to the pastoral ministry than you are by carrying out the job or the task or the responsibility God has given you. You believe that? All work before God has value. Be encouraged by that. Whether you're selling cars, you're building houses, you're raising a family, you're caring for a loved one, teaching a class, you're a student, you're running a Fortune 500 company, or you're pastoring a church. If it's God's given assignment to you, the task and the place that He's called you to, pay close attention to it because it has equal value before God. Now, not every job has the same, not every responsibility has the same impact. And not every responsibility has the same exposure. Some may be more obscure than others, but all God-given responsibilities and assignments have equal value before God. Listen, before I went into pastoral ministry, my first job at a church was cleaning toilets. And in my mindset back then was, I can't wait to get on past this so I can really do the Lord's work. But you know what? At that time and at that season in my life, that's where God called me. And I was to do that with the same fervor and the same zeal because it's what God had assigned me to that I put into getting ready to preach the Word of God because it's where He put me. Where has God put you? Where has God placed you? What is your God-given assignment? Billy Graham, there's a story of him leading a devotional for his staff there at the Crusade headquarters. And as part of the devotional, he remarked that some of the office staff would be ahead of him in the line for rewards when Jesus returns. And he continued by saying, "Our work is not a question of prominence or publicity, notoriety or success, but faithfulness to the place God has assigned to us." Whatever responsibility God has given you right now, whether it's public or private, you get paid for it or you don't, God's assigned you that. And He says, pay close attention to it. God, the idea of work is God's idea. All God-given assignments have value. You may have seen the movie Chariots of Fire. It's one of my favorite movies. Y'all seen that movie? Chariots of Fire is a true story about a British runner who's competing in the 1924 Olympic Games. His name is Eric Liddell, and he's a devout Christian, and he's one of the finest runners in the world. His sister, Jenny, encourages him in the movie to leave the Olympics and leave the competition to join his family on the mission field in China. In one scene, Eric announces with a smile, he says, "I've decided I'm going back to China." But he continues, "But I've got a lot of running to do first. I believe that God made me for a purpose, for China. But He also made me fast. And when I run, I feel His pleasure. To give it up would be to hold God in contempt. It is not just fun, but to run and to win is to honor God." Because that was the assignment and the place that God had given him at that time. What's your assignment that God has given you now? It has equal value before God. Work is God's idea. All God-given work has value. Thirdly, I want to show you two more truths. And I want to show you these truths from the book of Colossians in the New Testament. So flip over to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to show you two more things and we'll be done quickly. Paul speaks to this issue in the book of Colossians. Powerful verses over here in chapter 3, beginning in verse 23 of Colossians. I'm going to read these verses and they'll be on the screen for you. Now listen to what he says. Whatever you do, it's pretty broad, isn't it? Whatever God has called you to do, whatever assignment you have, whether it's a long-term assignment or it's a chore at home, whatever God has assigned you to do, do your work heartily. As for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Paul says, listen, whatever your assignment, whatever your responsibility, whatever your task that has been given to you by God, do it with all your heart. A whole heart, he says. Here's your third truth. You ready for this? When we look at the issue of work, for us as believers, here's the third truth. Attitude is everything. Everybody all right? Paul says your attitude in the way you go about what God has given you is everything. He says whatever you do, do it with your whole heart. The word whole heart there, heartily, means from the soul. It means there's a consistency between what you're doing out here and your heart. Your heart's really into it. It's possible to do some things half-hearted, right? You may be doing it, but you don't really want to do it. And you'd much rather be doing something else. It's possible to be doing things half-hearted. When I played football in high school, I learned how to run wind sprints half-heartedly. You know how to do that, don't you? You run wind sprints after practice, and here's how you do it half-heartedly. You grunt and grimace at 100%. But you only run at 50. That's half-hearted. We do that sometimes. We're about the activity, but our heart's only going at about 50%. We're half-hearted in it. Paul says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Attitude is everything. As we go about the task God's given us. Now, very quickly, I want to show you two competing attitudes from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs gives us two competing attitudes of the way we approach whatever God's given us to do, whatever it may be. Your job, your occupation, your responsibilities, your chores, your duties, your studies, whatever God has assigned you, here's two competing attitudes. One is the way of wisdom. The other is unwise. And we see these two attitudes in Proverbs 13, verse 4. Listen to this verse. The soul of the sluggard. Do you like that word? Sluggard. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. But the soul of the diligent is made fat. Two competing attitudes towards your work. One is the idea of sluggardness. The other one is the idea of diligence. You say, what does that word mean? Let me look at these two real quickly. The idea of sluggard, what does that word mean? That word literally means lazy or sloth or slack. That becomes the attitude at which you approach your responsibilities and your duties as given by the Lord. In fact, this word literally means the word sloth. And we have an animal in the animal kingdom that derives its name from this word. It's called a sloth. Does anybody know what a sloth is? Did you ever see a sloth in school? Well, there's Mr. Sloth on the screen. That's the animal that derives its name from this word here in the Old Testament. A sloth. Now, I don't know if you know anything about a sloth, or even appears like maybe one of your distant relatives. I don't know. But the sloth is a mammal located in the rainforests of South and Central America. Let me share with you a few things about Mr. Sloth. You ready? The sloth is the slowest moving mammal on the planet. Now, your husband's probably thought it was your wife trying to get ready for church, but it's not, okay? Sorry about that. Just a sloth sleeps up to 20 hours a day. Some of you are saying, man, sign me up. I'd like to go to sloth school. A sloth will remain in the same tree, perhaps even the same branch, for up to 3 months. Just sits there. The sloth has so little activity that a film of algae actually grows on its fur. It is nasty. You believe that? That's Mr. Sloth. And that can be a description of the attitude sometimes that we take towards our God-given assignments. We all can lapse into these attitudes sometimes. Now, what is the attitude, specific attributes that Proverbs gives us about this attitude of slothfulness? This attitude that we can easily slip into as how we approach our duties and assignments and things God's given us. Let me give you six of them real quick. They're not on the screen. I'm going to give you the statement and then give you the verse. We can all lapse into these. What does it look like to be slothful or in our approach to our activities. Number one, a sloth lacks initiative. Needless to say, 3 months the same branch. A sloth lacks initiative. Proverbs 19:24. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. You get the picture? His dinner is sitting there, and he puts his hand in it, and he so lacks drive, he won't even pull it back up to his mouth. That's lacking initiative. Now, that's an extreme example, but we all can fall into that sometimes. Secondly, the sloth is never prompt. Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. He has no concept of when it's time to work and when it's time not to work. He never understands the concept of time and being prompt. Everybody all right with that? Number 3. Proverbs 20, verse 4. Proverbs, number 3. Proverbs 6, verse 9. Here's the word. Procrastinator. A sloth is a procrastinator. Everybody okay? The verse is this, Proverbs 6:9. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? When are you going to get around to what God is calling you to do? Listen to this. Number 4. A sluggard or a sloth is all talk and no effort. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. He does a lot of talking, very little action. Number 5, the sluggard makes excuses. Proverbs 22:13, the sluggard says, there's a lion outside, I'll be killed in the streets. That's what the Bible says. In other words, the sluggard will not go about his activities because he thinks there's a lion in the road. What's he doing? He's making excuses. And we all lapse into that sometimes, don't we? Last one, the sluggard is not dependable. It's not dependable. Proverbs 10, verse 26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy person to those who sin him. In other words, it's the idea of you give a responsibility to a sluggard or someone who's lazy, and you're really disappointed that you did that because they're not dependable. You say, I see all those, and sometimes we all lapse into those, but listen, here's what Solomon's trying to say to his son. Son, if you lapse into this path, into this course of laziness, here's what's going to happen. It's unwise. Listen to Proverbs 15:19. The way of the lazy person is a hedge of thorns. What that means is if we adopt these attitudes towards the tasks and duties and responsibilities that God has given us, it's a hedge of thorns. We make our life unnecessarily more difficult than it has to be. See that? And we all lapse into these things sometimes. I'm speaking to myself too. Lord, give me the grace to not walk the life of a sloth, but the life of diligence. That's the other alternative. The life of diligence. Diligence means to cut or to sharpen, literally, to make every effort. And there's an animal that describes this in the book of Proverbs as well. Solomon uses the animal that we know as the ant. You read about the ant in the book of Proverbs. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8. He says to his son, go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. He says, go to the ant and learn something. Here's what you can learn about the ant. 5 things about diligence. You ready? Number 1, diligence takes initiative. The ant says has no ruler or chief. In other words, the ant doesn't have to have already somebody behind them all the time pushing them. They take the initiative. They know what needs to be done. They know what God's called them to do, and they do it before the Lord. Second thing you see about the ant is the ant works when it's time to work and rests when it's time to rest. Prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest, and then there's a season of rest. The biblical principle is God calls us to a season of work, but He calls us to a season of rest. It is just as erroneous to have the idea of laziness as it has to have the idea of being a workaholic. Neither are right before the Lord. There's a season of work. There's a season of rest. The ant understands that. Number 3, the ant works hard. The ant works hard. Listen to this. A leaf-cutting ant can carry up to 50 times its own weight over 100 yards. That would be like me carrying 5 tons all the way to Boulder City. That's working hard. A single summer, a colony of ants may excavate 30 to 40,000 pounds of earth and carry 5,000 pounds of material back to the nest. Solomon says, go to the ant and learn about diligence. Fourthly, an ant is faithful in the small things. No job's too small. No job's too small. They're as faithful in the small things as they are in the big things. It's diligence. And then finally, an ant finishes the task. That's diligence. Finish what you started. It says they gather her provision and the harvest, and they finish the job. Now, I thank God that when I was a young man, I had a dad who understood and valued work. For the 20 years that I was in my home, my dad, every morning, would get up and go to work when it was time. In the afternoon, when it was time to come home, he came home. And over 20 years, I never heard a disparaging word from my dad about his job. Never. Now, he didn't have the most prominent job. It wasn't the best paying job, but it was a good job, and he never complained. He did his job heartily, as unto the Lord. And then he would come home in the afternoons, and we kind of grew up on what you could call a farm, I guess. We had a barn and some cows, and we'd have hay out in the field, and he'd come home and eat a good dinner, and we'd hang out, and then he'd go out and work in the field. He wanted it. He loved it. You'd see him out there all the time just working. He loved that. And at times, he had the audacity to expect me to come out there and join him. You believe that? And from my dad, I learned that hard work is a good thing. And whatever assignment or responsibility God has placed before you, it's a good thing. And it's by God. And he says, pay close attention to it. I learned from my dad, work hard and do it with all your heart. Attitude is everything. Final point. We see that work is God's idea. All work has value before the Lord. Attitude is everything. And finally, all work is ultimately unto the Lord. Remember what Paul said? He said, whatever you do, in the home, out of the home, blue collar, white collar, you get paid for it, you don't get paid for it. Everybody knows about it, nobody knows about it. Whatever task or assignment or responsibility God's given to you, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Knowing it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Now listen to this statement. Many are discontent with your job or with your assignment or with your responsibility because you're working for the wrong boss. Here's what I mean by that. It doesn't mean you're working for the wrong boss. It means you're working for the wrong boss. I don't care who your earthly boss is. Ultimately, everything you do is unto Him. Everything. Whether it's known or unknown, popular or unpopular, paid well or unpaid well, whatever task God has given you, it's ultimately unto Him. And that changes the perspective of the way you approach things. Whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, or you're running your morning paper route, or you're doing your chores at home, or completing your assignments for school, your ultimate boss is God. And Paul says, he sees it all and he rewards. You see that? He said, knowing it's God who you serve, he sees it all and he rewards. You say, you don't understand how unfair my boss is. Guess what? God sees and God rewards. You say, you don't understand all that I do and all the work that I carry out and nobody knows about it. Nobody sees it. Nobody pats me on the back. I don't think anybody even is aware of all that I do. And that's true for some of you. But let me encourage you this morning. He knows, He sees, and He rewards. You say, and all this that I'm doing and all this that God's called me to, I don't think it's making any difference whatsoever. Let me encourage you. He sees and He rewards. Listen, be encouraged this morning. Whatever task, whatever responsibility, whatever occupation God has given you, it was God's idea. It has value before the Lord. Your attitude is everything. But everything you do unto Him. And everything you do, no matter how big or how small, when you do it unto the Lord, can be an act of worship. Did you know that? It's His idea. It has value. It's all unto Him. And that's the wisdom of work.